This hour by Frederick Remington, fully cooked, ready-to-eat bacon. Exclusive, no refrigeration, 10-year extended shelf life bacon. The thickest media center-cut bacon in the industry at fullycookedbacon.com.
Hi, this is Robert Reese on the CEO Forum, and we're here today with General Petraeus. How are you, General?
Couldn't be better, Robert. Thanks.
Let's start talking about right now your role is the chairman of KKR Global Institute. What does that mean, and what do you do?
Well, think of it as perhaps being the CIA director, but for a financial firm instead of for the national security team. What we're trying to do, all of us together, the components of the institute, which are a geopolitical risk team, macroeconomic analysis team, and environmental social governance issues analysis team, is to help KKR be the wisest investors we can be. So we report to each of the different investment committees of a firm that now manages about $170 billion around the world. Then to help the portfolio companies, the companies in which we have invested, again, around the world, and then also to help our investors, those who have provided the money that we are managing, so that they can understand the world in which we're all trying to invest together.
And you obviously have a deep geopolitical background in the military, as well as being director of the CIA. What pockets do you see globally that CEOs should really be concerned about? And they should say, let me put some extra thought into that area.
Well, there are lots of concerns out there, obviously. There's an enormous number of threats in a macro sense. And, of course, when you have a conversation like this, you have to aggregate all of that. But at the end of the day, every investment is micro. You certainly want to understand the macro circumstances in any country, any sector, any industry. But at the end of the day, it comes down to a specific company in which you are considering investing. Now, in some cases, frankly, there are countries where you just are not going to invest. The macro conditions are just too challenging. Obviously, North Korea, Russia, a number of other countries out there where you just don't have sufficient rule of law. You don't have confidence that you could invest in that country, and if things don't work out perfectly, that you wouldn't have recourse to the kinds of process that we would have elsewhere in the world where we're investing. We have concerns, needless to say, about a number of the countries in Africa, although we did do the biggest private equity deal several years ago in the largest cut rose grower in the world in Ethiopia. And there are certainly concerns in certain Latin American countries as well. On the other hand, we're very bullish about Japan. There's been a lot of carve-outs there that we've been able to do about Southeast Asia. We're very heavily invested in China. We see Europe through a very positive lens right now, although obviously you have to differentiate between the countries that make up Europe. And then, needless to say, the United States, North America, where we've always done the bulk of our investing, even as we have expanded dramatically around the rest of the world, and now also well beyond traditional private equity into real assets, real estate, energy infrastructure, and increasingly credit capital markets.
When you look at the CEO community who is listening to this, they're probably investing both their pension funds, but also they could be investing personally. What are some of the things that they should be looking for, as you mentioned, in a company? Because it's not only the global sense, but as well, they're really buying into a company for the most part.
Well, I think what you're always doing, whether you're investing in a startup, and I'm actually a personal venture capitalist with over a dozen personal investments, or if you're investing in a very large firm, you're basically analyzing two factors most significantly. The first is, what is the big idea? You know, what does the firm actually do? Does it make sense? And then, of course, are they executing? And then the other is the leadership. This is particularly pronounced again with early stage investments, but the same is true even as these companies get larger and larger and get to the stage that a KKR would be interested in investing. What we're always looking for, of course, is what are the opportunities to not just provide capital to a country, but also to provide the expertise that we can bring, again, through the elements of the KKR Global Institute, through the KKR Capstone, which is essentially an internal group somewhat similar to a McKinsey, but inside KKR, which has expertise across the board in some 65 or so former senior executives and everything from logistics to marketing, to HR, to IT, you name it, there is expertise there. And even now in a chief technology officer and his team, trying to see what are the disruptors that are going to perhaps change the context in which a particular firm is operating, and what is it we should be interested in down the road? What sectors and what specific firms, if we can get that specific, should we be investing in? And but, of course, these are always, I think, the considerations that investors are examining. And again, what we've tried to do is be not just a provider of financial resources and expertise, especially now with the increase in credit and capital markets activity, but also how can we help them with specific expertise, to increase revenue and to reduce costs.
This is Robert Reese on the CEO Forum, where we speak with the CEOs who've reinvented the fabric of America. We're here today with General David Petraeus, who is the chairman of KKR's Global Institute. And we're talking right now about investing from a CEO perspective. You mentioned something earlier that was of great interest, which is leadership. When you focus, it's not just a company, but a great deal on leadership. Now, you've had your share of involvement with leadership. What do you look for in a company from a leader?
Well, I think what any strategic leader has to do is four tasks well. And this is whether you're leading the surge in Iraq, leading an effort to overhaul how the Army prepares its forces and leaders for deployment to Iraq and Afghanistan, or in a private sector firm. The strategic leadership has to get the big ideas right, has to communicate them effectively through the breadth and depth of the organization so they all understand his or her intent. They have to oversee the implementation of the big ideas, and then most importantly, because it's often overlooked, is have a formal process for examining what needs to be learned and then how to change the big ideas, refine them, leave some by the side of the road, pick up some new ones. This is as applicable in the private sector as it is certainly in the military or the intelligence community or any large government organization as well. You can look at it with Netflix, and Reed Hastings is someone for whom I have enormous admiration. We've discussed this. He has all these steps, these tasks, including a formal examination of what is it they need to learn and what do they need to do to change the big ideas? How do they need to overhaul them? If you think about it, the big idea number one is we're going to mail CDs to customers rather than have brick and mortar in which they're rented. And that was the big idea, communicated it, oversaw it. Lots of subtasks and all of this, like how do you spend your time? What are the metrics? All the rest of that. And then came down here and said, you know, we did pretty well. A couple of years into the implementation of this, Blockbuster's out of business, but now others are mailing CDs. What do we do next? And so the new big idea is downloading speeds have been increased sufficiently that we can have people actually download content to their computers or other devices. New big idea, communicate it, oversee the execution, and then formally sit down and say, well, that's been fantastic. We're growing even more. Now what do we do, though, because others are encroaching on that space? So now the big idea is creating original content, $100 million on House of Cards alone, many other very successful shows in that regard, and of course, communicate it, oversee it, get down to the bottom, and then what? They say, well, now we're going to go into blockbuster movie making. And of course, they've hired away some very, very significant producers and developers of this kind of again, blockbuster movies. And this is going to be a significant new step, and it's already well underway. And I'm interested to see what will be next. Is it virtual reality? What is it? But again, Reed Hastings, I think, epitomizes those who really focused effort to develop new big ideas, to communicate them very effectively, to oversee the implementation with a very formal battle rhythm and metrics and all the rest of this, and then to sit down once again formally and determine how you need to change the big ideas and do it all over again and again. And again, that is true whether you're executing the surge in Iraq, overseeing that, or if it is in the private sector. If you think of the surge in Iraq, the surge that mattered most actually was not the additional 25 or more thousand troops in the U.S. side, which took us to maybe 165,000, that wouldn't have predicted that you'd drive violence down by some 80 or 85%, which is what ultimately happened over the course of 18 months. The surge that mattered was the surge of ideas, big ideas, the overall strategic concept, every one of which was 180 degrees different from what we were doing the year prior to commencing the surge, when we'd been consolidating on big bases, getting out of the Iraqi neighborhoods, accelerating the handoff to Iraqi forces, and a whole variety of other steps. And we determined that the only way to secure the people was to go back into the neighborhoods and to take back control in many respects from Iraqi forces that had proven unable to deal with the escalating level of violence following the tragic bombing of a Shia mosque in a Sunni area back in February of 2006, with the surge, of course, starting about a year later. So again, doesn't matter where you are, government, private sector, startup, you always have to get the big ideas right fundamentally. And for what it's worth, that generally has been a process that I think has to be conducted very openly, very transparently. You need to invite everyone into the tent and then move on from there.
And on that note, we're about to take a commercial.
Hunters, anglers, campers, and survivalists, get back to nature. Expand your horizons with the highest quality, most versatile, unique slingshots and sling bows on the market at slingbow.com. Slingbow products are compact and models start from just $17.98. They're perfect for your bug out bag or storing in your vehicle. Give yourself and your loved ones the excitement and tradition of slingbow, a new frontier in archery and truly modern twist on this primitive survival tool. Feel the thrill only at slingbow.com.
Hello?
Congratulations.
For what?
For losing all that weight. How'd you do it so fast?
ASAP.
ASAP what? What's that mean?
Are you ready to get as skinny as possible, as soon as possible, as simple as possible, and as sexy as possible?
I'm listening.
Then get with the ASAP program. It's real and it works. No smooth talk, no slick advertising, and no exaggerated claims of success.
I've got to know more.
Welcome to ASAP, as slim as possible. Whether you have 10, 20, or 50 pounds to lose, ASAP is your weight loss answer. ASAP targets the abnormal fat reserves and makes them available to be burned as fuel and contains no caffeine or hormones. Order ASAP at wholesale prices or join the team to share the business with others. Visit GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. Lose weight and look great with ASAP, as slim as possible.
The answer to being in control of your own healthcare is freedom from insurance. Become part of a group of self-pay patients that come together to share in each other's medical expenses. Individual share amounts begin at $107 a month and $347 for families. Choose from three health sharing programs. Holistic treatments may be eligible for sharing. See guidelines. Discount programs available for dental, vision, and pharmacy. Go to libertyoncall.org. That's libertyoncall.org.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
Here's a special message for those of you who owe the IRS at least $10,000 or more in back taxes. The IRS has special programs in place that could eliminate or reduce your tax debt by thousands of dollars. Call the Federal Tax Management Helpline that has been set up for you, 800-503-8625. Stop the wage garnishments, levies, and tax liens now. Once you've qualified and enrolled, the IRS will stop all the collection activities against you. These unique programs have been allocated to help the economy and significantly reduce or eliminate your tax burden. The IRS is currently accepting reduced settlements and other favorable programs. You may qualify for substantial savings, so get the help you need. If you owe more than $10,000 in taxes, call for free information and to see if you qualify. Take down the number now for the Federal Tax Management Hotline, 800-503-8625. That's 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
It's an no-brainer. A Big Berkey water filter is the one you need, period. You need a water filter that removes chlorine, fluoride, pharmaceuticals, BPA, and other endocrine disruptors, pesticides, bacteria, viruses, and much more, right? And does it all at only 2 cents per gallon. Get the original and most trusted name in gravity water filtration, Big Berkey. And now GCN listeners receive 5% off ceramic filter systems using code GCN. Call or click 1-877-99-BERKEY or BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. That's 1-877-99-BERKEY.
Hi, this is Robert Reese on the CEO Forum, and we're here today with General Petraeus, and we've been talking about the four steps for leaders, and the first is the big idea. You mentioned, on the fourth step, you mentioned about the process. Just walk through what a CEO has to go through to get that process correct.
Well, what you're trying to do is to facilitate the flow of good ideas from throughout the organization and from outside it, too. You want input from wherever you can get it. But there has to be some degree of formality to this. There has to be a meeting at which this all culminates with a report to you as the leader, the commander, the CEO. In Iraq, as an example, once a month I gave 1 hour to all the heads of the different lessons learned teams that were in Iraq. We had Army teams, Marine teams, Special Operations teams, Counterinsurgency Center teams, you name it. We had a whole number of these. And certainly they're always, you know, you can change the big ideas at any time, but we wanted to force a process by which they've bubbled up their impact input, overseen by the chief of staff, a two-star Marine general, and then it eventually was laid out for me. And at the end of that, we'd make some decisions. We need to tweak how we're doing this particular task, or we need to stop doing that task and pick up something new, revise what the guidance is, the counterinsurgency guidance, whatever. Keeping in mind, the lesson is not learned when it's identified. It's only learned when it's actually been put into your campaign plan, your policies, your practices, your SOPs, and then actually implemented. But again, having an action-forcing mechanism that actually does force this process at some periodic interval to come to you is a very good idea. And by the way, then we would share this back with, as we called it, the big army in the United States, which is what I'd just come from as a three-star, where we overhauled the counterinsurgency doctrine, created a new field manual, and a whole host of other changes to prepare how units and leaders were prepared during the so-called road to deployment, about a year-long process to come back, in many cases, to Iraq or to Afghanistan.
So let's look at the concept of leadership philosophy and what advice you have to CEOs. You obviously, well, your doctorate from Princeton, and more importantly, you ran the theaters of Afghanistan, of Iraq, and then you were the CIA director. What codifies David Petraeus's leadership philosophy, and what can CEOs learn from that?
Well, I actually outlined a leadership book after leaving government when I was sorting out what I was going to do next. And the working title was Relentless, Leadership Lessons Learned, Some the Hard Way. And it was really a capture, an attempt to sit down and capture a lot of ideas that I'd had inside my head. Occasionally I'd put them down in writing or in a briefing, and then to reflect a bit on those. It did certainly encapsulate the four tasks of a strategic leader that I've just described, and then it encapsulated a whole bunch of techniques, and as we termed it in the military, tactics, techniques, and procedures. These are the ways that you actually carry out these tasks. What's the nature of your leadership? It recognizes, for example, that your leadership style shouldn't generally be something that is just fixed all the time. Rather, it should be a style that tries to bring out the best in each of your direct reports, individually, and then the best in the organization collectively. Needless to say, I learned during my career that what works as a romping, stomping, you know, airborne rifle platoon leader as a lieutenant, fresh out of Ranger school, is very, very different from what works as the commander of a multilateral coalition, or of the treasure that is really the CIA. So again, trying to distill some of these ideas was what I was after. The idea of affirmative leadership as well, which is leadership that I can give you a contrast between non-affirmative leadership or almost negative leadership, which is where I say, Robert, you better have that darn report on my desk by Monday at noon or I'm going to have a piece of your backside. You know, how inspirational is that? It's basically a threat, as opposed to, hey, Robert, I just cannot wait to see that report on Monday at noon. People have been telling me that you've come up with some really good ideas. I may be so excited I can't sleep on Sunday night. You've actually conveyed the same message, which is, have that report done, but I'm really expecting something good. It's based on an assumption, which I think generally is true, that most people really want to be all that they can be, to recall an Army recruiting slogan. They really do want to do their best. And I think it's wise, until they prove otherwise, to indeed act that way towards people. For example, how you do some of the toughest tasks of a leader, which is sometimes to fire someone. Are you someone who takes joy in saying, you know, you're fired, out of here? Or perhaps do you acknowledge that this is an individual and perhaps letting him or her depart with some degree of self-respect and so forth intact might be better, both from sort of a human perspective, but also, frankly, from a practical perspective. You're going to get a lot less lawsuits and probably fewer complaints to whatever personnel offices out there could be used to retaliate or to take action. But again, it really comes down, I think, to an assumption about people. And I generally believe that people do want to do the best they can. They try their heart out. They will not always measure up. A lot of people don't realize I really did replace a lot of folks in these battlefield assignments. Six straight commands, in fact, to culminate my career in uniform, five of which were in combat. But not all of them were all that apparent. But again, I'd like to think that we should allow someone's dignity and respect to be intact, even if you've sent the person on to a new assignment more rapidly than was anticipated, and perhaps ensuring that that person never leads or never even gets promoted. Again, you do have an obligation to the institution, to soldiers, sailors, airmen, Marines, needless to say, in such a case. But it's a whole series of those kinds of reflections and observations that I do think guide us in conducting the various responsibilities of a leader.
You have about 1 minute left. Any final advice to CEOs who want to invest around the world?
Well, look, I think, again, you've got to really understand in rigorous detail the circumstances on the ground, which is always the case, whether you're conducting military operations, invading a country, or making a first-time investment in a region or a country or an industry. And it all comes down to that kind of granular understanding. And at the end of the day, it comes down to judgment. You know, when people ask me, what did I most look for in, say, a leader directly under me, say, at the three-star level in Iraq or Afghanistan. I think they thought I might say, oh, it's somebody who's really hardworking or enormous this or that or fit and stamina and everything else. Not really. It was like to have all those again. And by the way, to get to that level to begin with, those probably are all present. But I was most looking for was someone with the kind of judgment that you needed. And it's judgment who, after sifting through all of the facts and evidence and circumstances you can gather, has that knack to figure out, you know, this is an investment we should or should not make, whether it's in an operation, an offensive, or some other activity on a battlefield, or, of course, with an investment in a firm somewhere around the world.
So what we've heard is there are clear similarities between military theater and investing, and we've also heard, and CEOs think about this, affirmative leadership. General Petraeus, a pleasure having you on the CEO Forum.
Pleasure is mine, Robert. Thank you.
Every industry faces distinguishing challenges and circumstances that shape the business and financial landscape. Camusso CPA LLC delivers unrivaled depth of knowledge and an engaging experience relevant to each client's industry-specific needs. Camusso offers preemptive guidance and knowledge required to achieve your greatest business and personal financial potential. Our approach is based on forging long-term business relationships accompanied by trust and value, creating an ever-important partnership. Build your dedicated financial team with us today. Visit CamussoCPA.com. That's CamussoCPA.com.
Hello, my name is Marjorie Wildcraft. I'm the founder of the Grow Network, which is an online community of people who produce their own food and medicine. We are really into backyard self-reliance. If you want this lifestyle, I suggest your first step be to learn some basic home medicine. Just the other day, my 18-year-old son came to me and said, "Mama, I got a sore throat. Can you fix me up?" And I said, "Sure, Ryan," and in about 24 hours, he was better. The best home medicine for you to start out with is garlic. It's an amazing natural antibiotic, and I can show you how to use garlic to handle ear infections, sore throats, colds, and flus. As a way for you to get to know a little bit more about me and the Grow Network, I've written up an easy introduction on how to use garlic. It's at gcnwellness.com. Now, the station manager told me that I needed to say the URL at least twice, even though it feels kind of weird. But if you're interested in backyard self-reliance, you are one of us. Go to www.gcnwellness.com and let's connect up.
One out of four people listening to my voice right now could die from heart disease. This could be your last year, and you don't even know it because you don't know the early warning signs. If you think you're safe because your cholesterol levels are normal, think again, because studies show that 75% of heart attack patients also had normal cholesterol levels. Let me introduce you to Strauss Heart Drops, a world-famous heart and brain formula made in Canada. It's time-tested and will give you clinical results in 90 days or your money back. Learn more at signsofheartdisease.com. They are shipping free this month.
Message and data rates may apply.
Remembering when to change your fridge filter is a hassle. Remembering the right filter is almost impossible. So at Filters Fast, we have some good advice. Forget it. Instead, remember this. Text BEST 33 to 443-443 and check fridge filters off your to-do list forever. Get it all taken care of for a fraction of big box store prices with a Filters Fast brand filter. To see how much you can save, plus get free shipping, text BEST 33 to 443-443. With a huge range of brand name filters available, Filters Fast is America's number one online filtration company. And you can get a Filters Fast brand filter for a fraction of the price, delivered to your door every time you need it. No need to remember. It's not a matter of if you need a fridge filter. Why not text to get it taken care of? To see how much you can save and get free shipping, text BEST 33 to 443-443. That's BEST 33 to 443-443.
Does the current world crisis in North Korea or our domestic crisis right here in America concern you? Well, I know it concerns me. My friends over at Legacy Food Storage have solutions in the event there's the inevitable. What's the inevitable? Civil unrest, a run on your local grocery store. And here's my question to you. If this happens, how do you feed your children? How do you feed your grandchildren? Legacy Food Storage has the solutions. In fact, they can help you implement a simple plan to take care of your needs in the event of the inevitable. By calling them right now, I have authorized them to give you a special 20% discount at checkout by simply using GCN. Call 888-543-7345 or visit them at legacyfoodstorage.com. That's 888-543-7345 or visiting them at legacyfoodstorage.com. Make sure you use GCN at checkout for an incredible 20% discount. Don't be a victim. Take control of your life now.
Are you happy washing your hands with harsh chemicals? Are you happy doing laundry with detergents? Are you happy paying high prices? Find your happiness with Pure Soap. These all-natural, earth-friendly Pure Soaps are the very best you've ever used. Buy in bulk. Get a 12, 36, or 48-month supply. Or get items individually and still save big. You're getting soap products twice as good as what you're using now. Earth-friendly and natural soaps. Your family deserves the best. Happiness is 5starsoap.com. Why not put your money up the drain for a change? See them at 5starsoap.com or call 1-800-340-7091 for a catalog. Cal Bend Soap Company can save you thousands of dollars and give you good old-fashioned real soaps that are triple concentrated. Soaps made from vegetable and coconut oils. See their full selection of soaps at 5starsoap.com. That's FIVESTARSOAP.com. Or call 1-800-340-7091 for a catalog.
Hi, this is Robert Greese on the CEO Forum, and we're here today with Jim Heppelman. How are you, Jim?
I'm great. How are you, Robert?
Good. And Jim is the CEO of PTC, which is one of the fastest growing technology companies right now. And it's doing really interesting work, I would say, at the intersection of AR and IoT. But how do you really differentiate yourself in such a crowded technology space?
Well, Robert, 30 years ago, we really started the company around the idea of computer-aided design, 3D modeling. And the idea was to come up with a digital model of something that, once you got the model right, would become a physical product. So we're deep in the whole idea of how you develop products digitally, then manufacture them into physical assets. What we've done in the last 5 years is spend a lot of time thinking about how do you take that physical asset, add sensors to it, and connect it up to the internet such that we can get data from it and bring data from the physical product back into the digital world and combine it actually with the DNA of the product that we defined in the first place. So we have some competitors who might compete with us on the digital to physical, and we might have some competitors who compete with us on the physical to digital. But this combination of a digital twin for a physical asset and information flowing in both directions is very unique to PTC.
And you're really combining 2D with 3D in a sense, and that's your space where you are the leader in that.
Yeah, we pioneered the idea that you should model things in 3D because that's the real representation. If you need to create 2D drawings for documentation purposes, okay, fine. But think of a submarine as a collection of 2D drawings. I mean, you need to assemble that in your brain, and it's very difficult for an average human to be able to accurately construct a 3D model from 2D information in their brain. So by making a 3D model, we can make sure all the parts fit together and all the wires are routed in the right place and so forth. So 3D is a very powerful medium to design in because you're sure that the design will be manufacturable when the time comes.
And just to clarify, the difference between virtual reality and augmented reality has to do very much with that.
It does. Well, I mean, we got to look at the word reality. Because in virtual reality, you're actually substituting a fake world. The reality has been virtualized or made artificial. In the case of augmented reality, you're putting digital information on the real world. So in one case, you're putting digital information on the real world that's augmenting reality. In the other case, you're throwing the real world away and creating a fantasy world that's virtual reality. These are both interesting techniques. I think probably augmented reality is ultimately more powerful. If I want to show you how to change the oil in your car, I can overlay the oil change procedure on your actual car. But maybe before you do that, I want to give you a training simulation. So I'll simulate the whole car in virtual reality and show you how you would change the oil when there is no car, simply by simulating or virtualizing the whole idea of a room with a car in it, and your job is to go change the oil.
Well, you're definitely in the growth area for everyone. You can see this just explode, so that's exciting.
Yeah, these are very powerful techniques for businesses, for sure.
So I want to ask you, you did something unconventional that few CEOs do. You partnered with Harvard Business Review, with Michael Porter, actually, the illustrious Michael Porter, and you've done already your third article with him. What's your thinking behind, here you are a CEO, going into this whole thought leadership area?
You know, first of all, I got to know Michael when he was a director on our board some years ago. And he was on our board for quite a long time. But as I was becoming CEO, he was retiring from the board. But he's a strategic thinker, and I like to think of myself as...
He is a seriously strategic thinker. I've read a lot of his stuff.
He is the top of the top. But I like to think of myself as a technical visionary. So he and I would spend time talking about how would these technologies be used by a company to further their competitive advantage. And we got riffing on that and realized it's a special combination because I have, feet on the ground, fingers in the technology. I understand the technology deeply. I have thousands of customers I know. He, on the other hand, has unbelievable frameworks and, a critical eye for what does this really mean? So when you put the two of us together, I think you get a very interesting story that neither of us could have done independently, but together it's pretty darn good work.
This is Robert Reese speaking on the CEO Forum with Jim Heppelman, and he is the CEO of PTC, one of the faster-growing companies and the one company that is at the intersection of augmented reality and IoT. So that's the next thing I really want to talk about with you. When you look at IoT, people say there are 25 billion devices that could be connected. You're taking that, and then you're taking augmented reality, and we spoke before about the difference between augmented reality and virtual reality, 2D, 3D, and you're combining these together. What really happens at the intersection of the Internet of Things and augmented reality?
Yeah, well, Internet of Things means we get data from these billions of assets, right? Where these assets are things that we don't normally think of as computers. They might be automobiles or trucks or garbage cans or refrigerators or cattle. You know, all of these are sources of information.
Even a bottle of milk.
We can bring that information from the physical world into the digital world. Now, part of the problem is that while we have so much more digital information available to people, the ability of people to process this information actually hasn't improved much. So how do we convey information more quickly to people? Well, a good way to do it is to make it graphical, but take it off the screen and put it in context. If I'm looking at five cattle, make the one that's sick glow red. When I look at them, I know right away that that cattle has a problem, and maybe I'd ask for more information with a voice command or something. So augmented reality is about taking this digital information and overlaying it onto your view of the physical world. Overlay a service instruction, overlay a manufacturing instruction, help you identify which thing to pick up from the warehouse and put in your cart to fulfill an order. It's a powerful concept, and it's really about giving people the ability to process digital information far better than ever before. It's putting your very best sense, which is your vision, to work as if it were a computer port right into your brain.
So let's take an example of that, because this is pretty heady stuff, but in 5 years this is going to be, you know, day in, day out, what our kids are talking about. Let's take automotive industry.
Yep.
Give me an example of a challenge the automotive industry has faced and how working at the intersection of Internet of Things and augmented reality can help.
Yeah, well, a good example is Ford Motor Company uses augmented reality to augment a design change onto an existing automobile. So there's an automobile in front of you, a physical automobile. You can touch it and feel it and so forth. And you say, you're the boss. You say, I don't like it. I don't like the way this mirror works. You know, it just doesn't sing for me. Could you try designing a different mirror and taking the mirror right out of the computer screen and augmenting it onto this automobile, obstructing or occluding the one that's there, to show me how the physical automobile would look with the new digital mirror installed on it? Very interesting concept. That's not so much IoT, but a good example of an engineering design use case using augmented reality to bring data off the screen into the physical world.
I bet this is of super value in the training field when people are trying to train. Have you seen any applications of that?
Yeah, both training and operations, but there are many cases either in service, you know, aftermarket service, or in manufacturing where you have people that need to do something complex that they either have never done before or haven't done for a while, and you need to step them through the process either ahead of time for training or in the moment for documentation and certainty that they did all the steps and did them in the right order. And so if we think of an automobile parked in front of us that has a problem, thanks to IoT, I know what the problem is. Thanks to AR, I can show you how to fix it.
See, that is great. If anyone wants to look this up, what is the website for PTC?
PTC.com. Very simple.
Wow, that's a tough one. And then you had this one article in the HBR, Manager's Guide to Augmented Reality. How could people, if they want to, you know, get a copy of that, how do they
get it? Yeah, they can find that article on our website at PTC.com. It's pretty obvious when you get there.
Okay. We have been speaking with Jim Heppelman, the CEO of PTC, a company with about 6,000 employees. And when we come back, we're going to talk about healthcare, which everyone is talking about, and how the Internet of Things and augmented reality can help in healthcare. Back in a few.
Robert Reese with the CEO Show Minute here with Jim McCann, CEO and founder of 1-800-Flowers. You're known for great customer service. Give me an example.
We have stories about the extraordinary delivery situations where a fellow in an airport, his girlfriend gave him an ultimatum and said, if you don't propose to me by the time I leave for Paris with my family on vacation, don't call me again. Well, at the last minute, he decided this was a good thing and he shouldn't miss out on it. And he asked if we could engineer delivery to Kennedy Airport to get these flowers with a proposal to his girlfriend to say that, in fact, he did want to marry her. So we had a delivery guy make a special arrangements with the Port Authority police to get right to the gate with the bouquet. And he knelt down and he read the card message to her while her mom and dad and her sister stood there. And he read the proposal to her and he had a cell phone in his hand saying, if the answer is yes, I'm instructed to call Richard and put you on the phone with him. So we have photographs of that situation and it's a great story.
Thanks, Jim. Robert Reese on the CEO Show Minute.
Every industry faces distinguishing challenges and circumstances that shape the business and financial landscape. Camusso CPA LLC delivers unrivaled depth of knowledge and an engaging experience relevant to each client's industry-specific needs. Camusso offers preemptive guidance and knowledge required to achieve your greatest business and personal financial potential. Our approach is based on forging long-term business relationships accompanied by trust and value, creating an ever-important partnership. Build your dedicated financial team with us today. Visit CamussoCPA.com. That's CamussoCPA.com.
I tried other brands, but I came back to my sunshine.
For the best hot or cold pain relief, get the best. Get a Sunny Bay heating pad.
Sometimes life can be a pain in the neck or back or shoulder.
And the best relief for that pain is a Sunny Bay heating pad. Did you know that the American College of Physicians said that one of the best ways to treat muscle pain is heat therapy? Sunny Bay heating pads are handmade with high quality, can be used at home or at work, and have a lifetime 100% positive rating on both Amazon and Etsy.
Why take another pill?
Many people use our Sunny Bay heating pads alone and got rid of the neck pain.
Long distance travel or long hours in front of a computer can take its toll on your body.
See why our homegrown small business at sunny-bay.com has tried to help people just like you. Get your Sunny Bay heating pads at sunny-bay.com. That's sunny-bay.com or call 253-678-1361. For hot and cold therapy, sunny-bay.com.
Cancer categorizes over 100 diseases. Though we do not diagnose, treat, or cure cancer, GCN team is offering the Clemson University study where there was up to a 95% reduction in cancerous cells when exposed to a plant-derived mineral supplement. If you or a loved one are searching for answers to this horrifying disease, come to GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. We'll email you a copy for free. That's 877-878-4203.
Fully cooked, ready-to-eat bacon. I'm talking thick, meaty, center-cut, presidential bacon. Savory and delicious. I buy some, I use some, I store some. Awesome. No refrigeration needed with a 10-year shelf life. NASA pack technology. Bacon. Fully cooked, fully hydrated, ready-to-eat right from the pack bacon. Or warm and served. Life-saving, ready-to-eat bacon. 10-year shelf life bacon. Ships free at fullycookedbacon.com. Fullycookedbacon.com.
With uncertain times in the United States, it's only prudent to consider storing precious metals in a safe place outside of our borders. At Miles Franklin Limited, we have done just that for you. Partnered with the most respected storage company in the industry, Miles Franklin Limited is proud to offer the only fully insured private safe deposit box system in North America, held in Vancouver and Toronto. Send us your previously purchased precious metals, or have one of our brokers help you purchase something new. Questions? Please call one of our experienced brokers at 866-485-4346. Solid foundational storage partnered with the most respected name in security. That's Miles Franklin Limited. Celebrating our 29th year in business without ever receiving a customer complaint. Call us at 866-485-4346. Again, that's 866-485-4346. Miles Franklin Limited. A name you can trust.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. I'm here to tell you about GCNTelecare.com, a team of board-certified doctors assisting you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. Within 15 minutes of registration, care your family can afford. Revolutionizing the healthcare industry, virtual consulting, providing diagnosis of non-emergency medical issues by phone or secure video on computer or smart mobile devices. GCNTelecare.com. Virtual care anywhere.
Have you checked your Google search results lately? Search results are usually the first impression that people form of you or your business. So make sure that they create a positive impression with ReputationDefender.com. What the internet says about you can have a big impact on your life and your livelihood, even if it's not true. Fortunately, you can now control how you look online and in online search results with ReputationDefender.com. Call 800-831-0771 now. That's 800-831-0771 for your free reputation analysis. If you have negative material from an ex-employee, upset patient, or former client, newspaper article, legal issue, social media, or other source showing up in your search results, you can combat it with ReputationDefender.com. Our dedicated experts in patented technology can help make your online search results look their best. Call 800-831-0771 to learn more. 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771. Or visit ReputationDefender.com.
Hi, this is Robert Reese on the CEO Forum, and we're here today with Jim Heppelman, the CEO of PTC. Good to have you back.
Yep, it's great to be here.
So let's talk about healthcare. Impacts everyone about, $3 trillion of the economy, 17.8% of the GDP. How can the Internet of Things and augmented reality working together positively impact healthcare? Or can it not?
Yeah, well, absolutely. It's one of the hottest fields, really, for both of those technologies. So maybe I'll take it in two stabs. One is equipment, and the other is people. So on the equipment side, I can monitor, for example, diagnostics machines. So let's say I make diagnostics machines. They're implemented at clinics or hospitals all over the world. I can make sure that all this equipment is up and running. I can anticipate if there's going to be a problem and intervene so that that problem doesn't happen. You know, it's very bad when this equipment fails in the moment, unexpectedly, because there's a whole lineup of patients who are supposed to be processed today, and now we can't. So using IoT, I can monitor a fleet of diagnostics equipment. And then if I find a problem and have to send a technician there, I can use augmented reality to show the technician what to do when he gets there and guide him actually through the repair process that would help us to avoid that problem that I can see coming with IoT. Now let's switch gears to the people, the patient actually. There are some potential use cases here that are very interesting. Let's take a patient who goes through a diagnostic machine like a CAT scan or MRI type machine. We now have a model of what's inside that human. But when I look at the human, I can't see it. I have to look at a computer screen, and I see a representation on the computer screen of that patient. What if I could lift that data and overlay it wearing smart glasses on the person? So when I look at the person, I see the person wearing the MRI data.
Wow.
And it's all in exactly the right place. I mean, how powerful is that concept to help a doctor really get to the point?
I just want to ask you quickly about glasses, because I've spoken with CEOs like Jay Walker, the founder of Priceline, has more, I think, inventions and patents than anyone in America. And he's told me the next thing is going to be completely glasses.
It is.
That was actually in your article, too.
Yes, yes. Let's take a detour for a minute. Think of hearing aids. So a hearing aid takes the sound waves coming to you. It does some digital pre-processing. It hides background noise. It amplifies foreground noise. And it passes those modified sound waves into your ear. And now you can hear things you otherwise couldn't hear, particularly if you have a hearing problem. So let's think about smart glasses. They're the same concept, which is we take light waves coming in, we intercept them, modify them a little bit to add digital content into them, and pass the modified light wave into your eyeball. So what you see now is a combination of the real world, but with digital information added into it. So when I put on those smart glasses and look at the patient, I see the patient wearing the MRI scan, right? Because I augmented the MRI scan into my view of the patient using the smart glasses. It's an amazing concept that's going to revolutionize the world.
That is really exciting. But let's take the average CEO. So the CEO hears this, and they're wondering, how does this impact my business? How should CEOs think about augmented reality?
Yeah, I mean, using some of the frameworks from my friend Michael Porter, competitive advantage really has two legs. One is in your offering, how distinctive and differentiated is your offering.
And the second one is in your operations. How operationally efficient are you in what you do in your engineering, manufacturing, service, you know, finance ranks? And AR and IoT affect both of them. First of all, we can build products that have capabilities that were not previously possible. So on the offering side, you have an opportunity to do some amazing, value-creating, differentiating things with your products. And there's some great examples. Accuvain is a medical device company that augments data onto the patient so you know where to do the vein stick and you won't miss, because it's sensing the skin temperatures, calculating where the veins are, augmenting the view right out of the patient's arm. You draw blood, never missing the vein because you know exactly where it is. Now in your operations, because we can supply information to people so much more efficiently, in general, human activities are about 30% more efficient, 30 to 50, but nearly everybody reports 30% efficiency. So now you get the job done faster, less manpower, more accurate, fewer mistakes. So tremendous operational efficiencies to complement what you could do with new products and new offerings. So I think it's pretty profound impact potentially for a lot of companies.
What is the first step for a CEO?
Yeah, I think the first step is to get educated. You know, the articles Professor Porter and I wrote.
Read your article. I got that. Any other ones?
Yeah. Play with the technology.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think it's
although reading your article is actually a very good start, because it's very simplistic, organized.
Yeah, we try to lay it out at the level of HBR, you know, which is a business level for executives. But play with the technology. You know, have a group ramp up some demonstration scenarios. It doesn't cost much, and it's just eye-opening. You know, the idea of augmenting an MRI. Well, the first time you put on a HoloLens and you realize I can see digital information when I look at physical things, it's then just a step to say, could I take the MRI and put it on the patient? Yeah, of course. So I think it's hard to talk about this stuff. You need to experience it. And so I'd say, go get some demos. You know, have your people gen up some concepts. Come see us if you need to. We'd be happy to show you.
PTC.com,
right? PTC.com.
Okay, we have 2 minutes left. Let's switch gears to leadership. So when you took over in 2010 as CEO, you've been here since 1998, and the company has really turned around, best company to work for, all these types of lists. Talk about your leadership philosophy and specifically what you did.
Yeah, well, the board charged me with fixing the profitability and fixing the growth rate. You know, that's all I had to do. But I think I saw, because I have a techno background, I saw some amazing new technologies that, in my mind, were adjacent to the technologies we already had. And I said, I think we can leverage our way into these adjacent markets. A lot of people said, I don't think I see it. But I did. I was very compelled, passionate about it. You know, I think a measure of a good leader is whether they have good followers. And at PTC, we have a lot of people who are super excited about what we're doing. So I think I was a visionary and a cheerleader and a change agent to try to get people to want to change and to feel good about this particular change and to leave the inertia behind and really come to work and do something different and try to make a new company, you know, out of what we started with.
If you had one sentence that would summarize and codify your leadership philosophy, what would that one sentence be?
You know, be real. Nobody gives more demonstrations of what's possible in this company than me. And it's because I want to show the employees, the customers, everybody that this is something that's going to be amazing. I need to show it to you. When you see it, you're going to be surprised. You're going to want to, you know, be a customer, be an employee, you know, come work for us or buy from us. So I think I'm trying to be the passionate leader, demonstrating what's possible and making people want to come along for the ride.
And there you have it. Jim, a pleasure having you on the CEO Forum.
Great. Thank you, Brian.
This is Dan Pilla. Do you owe the IRS money you can't pay? Are tax debts crippling you? I've defended people from the IRS for over 30 years. I've helped thousands, and I can help you too. I wrote the book on IRS settlement, and I'm telling you, there's no such thing as a hopeless case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX to finally get free of IRS debt. With the IRS's new programs, there's never been a better time to solve your problem. Call 800-34-NO-TAX. That's 800-34-NO-TAX, or my website, danpilla.com.